they didn't have what it takes to be astronauts. They don't fit the foreign diplomat mold. Their computer science careers were cut short. And the banking world still blanches at the mere mention of their names. But when it comes to sports in Central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. It is a Tuesday, the 20th of October. The sky is falling. We are glad you're along with us, even though death is imminent from the Husker program. It is unbelievable as we get ready for Dirk Chatelain from the Omaha World Herald to join us live from the Memorial Stadium press box. Bo Pelini's weekly press conference is coming up, so we will have that live for you in the second half of the show today. Also, Monty Kraft is going to join us with a little bit of Husker analysis leading up to that as well. But before we dive right into the football and we catch up with Dirk, what a great night of sports it was yesterday. Two good baseball games and a good competitive football game.
I would say two great baseball games. Left you sitting on the edge of your seats, come down the final at bat. Unbelievable. People, you never, a backup catcher in the Angels steps up and gets a lines a double to left center, and then Jimmy Rollins steps up in the 11th in the last inning and hammers a ball to the right center gap that goes all the way to the wall. It scores runners from first and second to win that ball game. What a great, great couple of baseball games. Then the football game, I guess you take away the punt and kickoff returns. Maybe you're saying, where's some of the offense in that first half? But, yeah, it was back and forth. A lot of people getting after it. Where is Denver's defense coming from?
Denver's defense. Well, did you see how many new guys they've got, which makes it, I guess, even more surprising a little bit?
But they're getting people from, like, Cleveland. Who'd have thought that linebacker, 55, starts with a D, Dunkel, I'm missing a name here.
Elmer Dumerville?
Dumerville, there you go, Dumerville. Comes from Cleveland. Are they that bad at Cleveland that they can absolutely zero with this talent? They get them with Denver and then they're the monsters of the Midway again?
Well, we'll have to see. Game four tonight, Yankees.
Yeah, it looks like, you know, Yankees at times, the lineup for the Yankees, I think, is going to be one of those things that is so difficult to get through.
1-888-455-ESPN, that's the phone number. You can email us anytime, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. Oh, Daddy, Bo Pelini called me this morning. I don't know if you know this. Apparently, some coaches from time to time will call members of the media. Bo has a message for you.
I don't get influenced by what the fans or the media or anybody else thinks. When they want to come in here and watch the film and they earn the title and they earn the respect of being a head coach, then they can start making decisions. Until then, the buck stops here.
That's fine, but Bo Pelini is not blind either. He can see what we're seeing. Cody Green starts Saturday. I don't know why we're going to make that a game-time decision.
You want to throw a little lunch on this?
Yeah, let's do it.
I'll take Zach. I think Zach's starting Saturday. I don't know who's starting Sunday, but I think Zach's starting Saturday.
You know what? Al Sharpton showed up in the Rush Limbaugh deal. If Cody Green don't start Saturday, bring in Al Sharpton because it's racism then. It's the only thing I can think of if he doesn't start Saturday.
Dirk probably just hung up the phone and went back into the press conference to listen to John Cook. You don't want to talk to your psychotic mind. Dirk Chatelain joins us live at the press box in Lincoln, getting ready for Bo Pelini's weekly press conference. Beat writer for the Omaha World Herald covering the Huskers. And Dirk, I guess, has been, and Lee Barfneck wrote a story this morning, but Dirk's kind of been right on the edge, of pointing out first thing Sunday, change needs to be now, and we need to quit hopping around the fence. Maybe more about, I'm not saying he's agreeing with Tony or Tony's agreeing with him, but he's a little bit more on what you were saying last week. And Dirk, good morning. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show.
How are you guys?
Well, we're getting along. I mean, kind of.
I walk right into a political discussion about Al Sharpton and Rush Limbaugh. I don't know if I'm suited for that.
Well, I don't know. That could be bigger. That might not be as big as the Zach Lee, Cody Green, Sean Watson, Kevin Cosgrove type of debate that we got going on. And, folks, if you haven't seen Dirk's column, log on to omaha.com. Go to the big red page. It's still up there today. Dirk, I guess I want to come right out of the box and ask you who should be starting at quarterback on Saturday.
Cody Green should start at quarterback on Saturday. I think when you make the decision with a true freshman that you're gonna give him snaps, I think you owe it to him to basically prove that he's not capable. And I don't think it's fair, to throw him into the second half of a game for a series, or when you're down by 14 or 21 points. I think that the way Zach Lee is playing right now, Green deserves a chance to have the offense be his. And I don't think he's going to get that feel if him and Lee are trading series, or if he's coming in for Lee at the end of the first quarter or anything like that. I think he deserves a chance to start and see what happens.
Dirk, it's well noted that the quarterback situation is not the only problem on this offense. In your mind, and break it down however you want, the running backs, wide receivers, offensive line, Sean Watson, what is the biggest disappointment to you 6 games into this season?
Wow, that's a good question. I think you could easily say the offensive line. The tackles just got abused the other day, and that's a pretty disappointing thing. And they still can't move the pile. But just me personally, I think I would pick the receivers. I mean, I am. It's like weekly I am surprised at how poorly they're playing. And, it's drop balls, I understand that. But it's also, when a play breaks down, finding an open spot in the zone. It's also, Niles Paul's play the other day where, that sort of epitomized the whole game. And they cannot find somebody who can make a play. And Sean Watson doesn't help them a whole lot by putting them in great positions to make plays, but I would pick the receivers right now.
Dirk Chatelain is joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Dirk, as you look out the press box, is Niles Paul still running stairs like he should be right now? I'm not disappointed that he dropped the ball. I'm disappointed that there was no hustle on that particular play, which really turned the game around, but albeit, I guess when the panic mode sets in, you can find 6 or 7 things that are wrong with the football team, offense, defense, special teams. Anybody can find that. How come we didn't see this 2 weeks ago?
The problems, you mean?
Yeah. I mean, all of a sudden they become so clear today. Why didn't we see them 2 weeks ago?
I don't know. It's clearly deteriorated. They have not played. You could argue they still haven't played, a solid half against a decent opponent. Maybe that's part of it, is just that, those problems were always there, but, maybe they just weren't exposed when you're playing Sunbelt opponents. I think that's part of it. But, the other part of it is Lee's taken a couple steps backward, and I don't know what happened to him. I thought he was going to come out of the Missouri game and, kind of play more effectively. And I thought that was a confidence builder for him. And he just looked like a deer in the headlights the other day. I mean, he wouldn't run when there was an opening there. He wouldn't throw the ball downfield when he had somebody downfield. And he looked, I don't know if scared is the right word, but he just didn't look ready for that position. And I think it's more mental than physical right now. And that offense, the way it's designed, is you really have to sort of be on all cylinders to move the ball, because you're not Deshaun Watson is not designing plays to get big chunks all the time. He's trying to get 5 yards here and 4 yards here and a 6 yard out. And when one piece breaks down, you know, you're in third and 12 a lot. And, you know, that they're just not capable right now of stringing drives together because there's too many problems, and quarterback is definitely one of them.
Dirk Chatelain from the Omaha World Herald joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Dirk, entering this season, I think if you said, Nebraska fan on the offense, what's one positive you got going? Everyone, or 9 out of 10 people, I think would have said the tight ends. Young, McNeil, JT Kerr, Cotton, Sean Hill. Where have these guys been?
Boy, that's a really good question. And, you know, I think it's really easy to identify the problems. It's harder to identify the solution. But clearly one of the things that they need to do is get guys like McNeil back in the mix. I mean, Mike McNeil, he caught two balls the other day, and each of them was a really good catch. They were impressive catches in traffic. But that's it. They threw him the ball twice. At Missouri, they threw him the ball twice. That's it. Kyler Reed, you know, is nowhere to be found. I mean, tight end is a strength on this offense, and yet they continue to go shotgun 3 and 4 wide receiver and basically make those tight ends stand on the sideline. And it's something that baffles me every week. And, you know, their tight ends are better than their receivers are. So let's see more tight ends and fewer receivers in formation.
Dirk, do you have any idea how many receivers we've got on this football team? I know this. I want to know if you know this. I believe somebody told me this morning there's 16 receivers on this. How many team would you say are Big 12 worthy? I don't know. We've got one.
Well, Niles Paul.
No, he's
not.
Niles Paul.
You've probably got a few. I mean, some of them are just young, but boy, I see what you're saying. I mean, they just cannot find somebody reliable, and it really makes you realize how good Nate Swift and Todd Peterson were, and you know, they were sort of overlooked. I mean, probably Peterson more than Swift. I think Swift was, you know, he obviously finished near the top of the school history charts, but those guys just really had a knack for making plays, had underrated physical skills, you know, most notably their hands, and Nebraska just really misses those guys. I mean, it's so clear on Saturday afternoons when they cannot find a reliable receiver to throw the ball to.
Dirk Chatelain joins us for just another minute here as we get ready for Bo Pelini's press conference from Lincoln. Dirk, you think it's going to get better, or is it going to get worse before it gets better?
Well, it can't get worse, can it?
Well, you would hope not. You would hope not.
I mean, Iowa State is not, you know, they're not a juggernaut. I mean, they're playing pretty well offensively right now, but Nebraska should be able to move the ball on Iowa State. I think they would probably fit more into the Sun Belt class of opponent in terms of the way that Nebraska can move the ball offensively. But again, I really think Nebraska should use this juncture as an opportunity to see what Cody Green can do, and not just to see what he can do, but give him the offense and see where he takes it. And if you lose, you know, if you lose a game here in the next two, or you know, both games, God forbid, you know, maybe you reassess it. But I think Green has a higher ceiling than Zach Lee, and Lee has not demonstrated the aptitude, you know, that people expected. And so see what the freshman can do, give him the offense, and worst-case scenario, you know, you're making him better and you're making the offense better for 2010 and 2011. But I do think that they have to sort of go back to, you know, sort of some soul-searching and figure out what they want to do offensively, because they're not identifying things that they do well. And Jacob Hickman touched on it the other night. They're not finding things that they can turn to, you know, when they're in a tough spot. And it's almost like they need to go back to the playbook and say, hey, what are the 5 or 10 things that we can do well and we know we can do well. And, you know, if you have to pare the playbook down to do that, do it. But they've got to figure out something fast.
They're good at 57-yard field goals, I hear. So, Dirk Chatlin from the Omaha World-Herald, last question. We'll let you get out of here, Dirk. Just kind of recapping his article from Sunday, which you can read on omaha.com on the big red page, saying that neither Sean Watson wasn't prepared to choose the starting quarterback Saturday night. Bo Pelini wasn't in the mood, and here's how Dirk wrapped up his article. He says, behind the lectern, Coach Pelini's voice amplified as he fielded questions he didn't have answers to, scowling, cursing, not 50 feet away, stood, well, basically Tom Osborne. At that moment, what do you think he was thinking? Is Bo has mentioned he would lean on Tom, and Tom probably wants him to lean on him. What do you think Tom's thinking, and do you think Bo will be leaning on the offensive mind?
You know, that's a pretty awkward situation. I don't know. I think Bo has a lot of pride. I think Tom has a lot of pride. I think, you know, the thing that everybody expected was that the offense would, you know, roll right along through this coaching transition, and this is probably the bigger story, that the offense would roll right along and that the defense would, you know, sort of struggle to find its footing. And when it finally did, you know, everything would come back to the old days. Well, I don't think anybody anticipated the offense taking three steps backward. And the irony of it, of course, is that Osborne is the offensive genius. So, it's, you've got one of these weird situations where it's almost like, you know, Tom, help us fix the offense, you know? And I don't think that's actually a conversation that's going to take place, but they've just got, Osborne has something invested in this, and it's got to be really hard on him to watch what's going on. And, you know, I'd be really curious, you know, to know what the conversations were between, you know, Watson and Osborne and Pelini, and if there are any conversations, because Tom clearly has an opinion on what's going on.
Dirk Chatlin from the Omaha World-Herald. Dirk, a rumor out of Lincoln says that Anita Watson has already placed the clothes that he will wear to the Christmas party out for him, so to clear up any confusion there. So,
hey, that's great. I wish my wife would do that more often.
Hey, Dirk, have fun at the press conference today. We'll be listening.
All right, take care.
Take care. Yeah. Dirk Chatlin, Husker beat writer for the Omaha World-Herald, joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We'll take a break. We'll recap a little bit what Dirk says. Monty Kratzstein is going to join us in our next segment, and we'll hear from the coach himself. I don't think he'll be quite as fired up today as he has been, or joking around, as he has been the last couple of weeks, trying to lighten the mood a little bit, because good practice apparently yesterday. And as it was already been pointed out, Nebraska seems to bounce back after losses here the last couple of years. So we'll see if that is the case. Doug and Daddy Show, the email address, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. Phone number is 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. And you know what? The Tri-City Storm home tonight. I want to give away a pair of tickets going into this break for the Storm. The Storm have played four games. How many goals have they scored? 888-455-3776. First correct caller. How many Storm goals have been scored this season? You're going to the game tonight. Back after this.
You're listening to the Doug.
At ENT Physicians of Kearney, we put patients first. For more than a decade, Doctors Owen and Conley have provided unsurpassed care to adults and children with problems and diseases related to the ear, nose, and throat. To learn more about our practice and the services we provide, please visit our website at entphysiciansofkearney.com. Caring for our community, one patient at a time, we're ENT Physicians of Kearney and Family Hearing Center.
How do you say go Lopers? You say it with a Loper t-shirt, a Loper hat. You say it with a painted body and a giant foam finger. And you always say it with pride. Come gear up at the College Store in Kearney and get everything you need for the season. Stop by our new store before the game for incredible specials on all of our Loper merchandise. It's game day every day at the College Store, located at 1420 West 24th Street in Kearney, or online at thecollegestore.com/UNK. The College Store. Go Lopers!
Cold winter days and nights are only a few weeks away. Call Fidelki Heating and Air Conditioning, your independent trained dealer in Kearney today to schedule a preseason furnace check. Fidelki's experienced technicians can spot potential problems before trouble and major expense occurs. See Fidelki Heating and Air Conditioning, your independent trained dealer in Kearney. Industry-leading sales and service for 30 years. Ask about special financing or a cash rebate on a new train system.
We don't cut corners. Fidelki Heating and Air.
It's hard to stop a train.
Same way the thick tortoise shell protects its occupant, the Armacoatings spray-on bed liner from the Dent Popper protects your pickup bed. Armacoatings is the one that goes on hot, stays on strong, no rust, corrosion, dents, or scratches ever. Guaranteed for as long as you own your truck, and it says so in writing. That means your truck holds its value longer. Are you surprised the Dent Popper now applies Armacoatings? Don't be. The Dent Popper has been on the leading edge of vehicle preservation for years. See the Dent Popper, north of Railroad on First, on the bricks, downtown Kearney, for a free estimate.
The 2009 Major League Baseball Playoffs on ESPN Radio.
Swings and he belts one. He can't get it. It's off the base of the wall.
The Angels get a big win at home as they cut the Yankees' lead to 2-1. Now they look to Scott Kazmir to slow down C.C. Sabathia in Game 4.
Here comes Kendrick, rounding third. He scores, and the Angels have won the game.
Game 4, Yankees and Angels tonight at 6:10 on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
We'll see considerable cloud cover across the area through the day today with a slight chance of showers developing with high temperatures staying in the mid-50s to around 60 degrees. Winds out of the southeast will stay at 5 to 15. For tonight, we'll drop back to 42 for a low. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now, 50.
Doug and Daddy Show. Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Congratulations to Don from Ashton. He knew that the Tri-City Storm had scored 15 goals so far this season. Off to a 2-2 start. Lost 3-1, won 5-1, won 4-3 in overtime, lost 6-5 in overtime.
I'm guessing if you had started the season and said the over-under after four games for goals, it would not have been 15.
No.
It would not have been 15.
That was like a month. That was like a month worth of goals.
Hey, Doug, I got to go to the Dent Popper inbox. A point of correction here. Elvis Dumerville did not come to Denver from Cleveland. He was drafted by the Broncos in the fourth round. Okay, there was another linebacker that came from Cleveland that was absolutely killing. Well, they were all killing. Phillip Rivers had no time last night. The defense was all over him.
Now, what are you going to do with LaDainian Tomlinson? Play him or do something? You know, you're not giving the guy a chance. It's not like he wasn't good last night. He had 70 yards rushing. He had 30-some yards receiving. He showed his dejection when they yanked him and put in Sproles, who couldn't get a freckle of a yard on the goal line situation. Sproles is a good return man. Let's leave him at that.
Well, if you
want to put them both in there, that's fine.
Do you think LT was going to score on when Sproles didn't?
Oh, no, I'm not saying that. Oh. You probably call a different play, though. You know, I'm just wondering, is it over? I mean, I was expecting some big things from LT this year. I think Norv Turner's not good. I mean, he just can't win anywhere he goes, and it's too bad. It's too bad. I think San Diego is eventually going to be one of the biggest wastes of a lot of talent for a long, long time. I mean, they had the pieces in place to be a Super Bowl champion, I think. I mean, you got LT, you got Rivers, you got Sean Merriman. Maybe they're just not all clicking. I don't know. It's too bad. It's not like the Husker situation where they're trying to find that next group of talent. Monty Kratzenstein joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. He was with us before the Missouri game, and that turned out okay. Things did not turn out okay on Saturday against Texas Tech. And you can check out Monty's articles and blogs on the Kearney Hub website, kearneyhub.com, or you can check it out every weekend. Monty, the two words that you told me yesterday was "don't panic," but that's exactly what everybody seems to be doing.
You're absolutely right. I listened to Dirk talk, and if I didn't know any better, I would say we haven't won a game, or we're 2-4 instead of 4-2. One of my philosophies has always been in life or family or business is, you know, most important thing is not to panic. I think I sent you that message yesterday, and that's the point. We just can't panic. I mean, it's kind of funny how people think the sky's falling.
Monty, I'll ask you the same question. What's the most disappointing thing about this offense to you?
Well, I don't know. Without point fingers at personnel or at certain groups, I would have to say the fact that we haven't found, and that identity is a cliche right now, but we haven't found something that we can consistently do well. And I don't know what that something is. I think going into the season, I really think that we heard a lot of positive press about the offensive line and the tight ends and our ability to run the ball, and Roy Halu was a proven entity and so on. But I really think the disappointing thing is that we're six games into the season and we don't have something offensively that we do really well. And because once you can do one thing really well, then you can branch off of that with something else. But, you know, when you look at a third down and three sort of a play throughout Nebraska football, and it's been different plays, but there's always been something that we can do well, whether it be a pitch to the eye back, whether it be a counter sweep, whether it be an option, and that's evolved, whether it be throw the ball in the flat with Bill Callahan. There was always something we could do pretty well. I don't know what that is right now.
Monty Kratzenstein joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show, Bo Pelini's press conference. I don't know how if it'll be interesting or not today, but that's coming up live as well. Monty, it's going to be hard to find something, I would think, at this point, but don't you think the run game was that one thing? And I'm still pointing to everybody's hurt in the top, well, now it's top two. I mean, we had Rex and we got Roy. Rex is out, Roy's hurt. There is nobody after that as a parent right now. I thought that's what Nebraska was able to do well. And again, Sun Belt teams, but it seemed like they were able to do that. And I thought Roy probably had a pretty good day against Virginia Tech.
Right. Oh, absolutely. And, you know, that's the other thing Dirk talked about. You know, we haven't played a full half against a good opponent. It's amazing how quick we forget Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech's a pretty good defense. Now, they didn't defend Georgia Tech's option real well, but they're a pretty good defense. And we ran the ball against them with success. Sure, Roy Halu being hurt is a big factor. Burkhead being hurt is a big factor. And those things happen in football. That's where possibly the quarterback run game might help us out a little bit. And to me, that's maybe where Cody Green could help out a little bit. But like most things, you know, a quarterback gets a lot of credit when things go well, probably too much, and gets a lot of blame when things go bad. Again, probably too much.
No, Monty, and I'm probably as guilty as anyone on that. I just don't understand why Cody Green would come in. He played 18 offensive snaps. And they did not let him run one time. I know we're behind, but did not let him run one time. Is there any explanation for that?
You know, I don't know what the explanation is. Unfortunately, I didn't have access to the game tape and didn't go through those situations. I know we were. You're absolutely right. You know, he was in for 18 plays. There's 18 called pass plays, one sack, one scramble, and 18 times or 16 times he threw the ball. You're right about that. A lot of it was probably dictated by the situation of the game, you know, being behind. And a lot of it also was dictated by what we felt like we could do offensively. They were giving the pass down the field. We couldn't execute it. We couldn't protect it. We couldn't pull the trigger on throwing the pass. We couldn't get open, but that was there. I know it's very frustrating as an offensive coordinator sitting on top there saying, hey, this is what the defense is giving us. This is what we have to do, and then not being able to do it. In hindsight, you know, I kind of joke about the play calling criticism because you never hear somebody on a touchdown play criticize the play calling or a play goes bad saying, well, that was a good call. It's always in hindsight. So you have to take that with a little grain of salt as well.
Yeah, Colin Cowherd hit that on the pros this morning and talking about Jim Zorn and Merrill Hodges talking about that too. If you got to go to play calling, then that there's a problem there. But Monty's with us for just another minute before Bo Pelini takes to the stage or to the press conference. How much pressure will this now put on the defense, who's doing a great job? But now, let's face it, if you're Ndamukong Suh, if you're some of these defensive players, if you're Carl Pelini, if you're Bo Pelini, you know that your defense is going to have to play even better. And it's like pitching a 1-0 game. You got to keep that team shut out or you're going to be in trouble. You could get beat. If the defense doesn't just play outstanding, if the offense can't get it done, how does that change what the defense does?
Well, I don't think it changes anything from a mentality standpoint because that's what, as a good defensive football team, that's the mentality you have to have anyway. I really don't think that's going to change. It's amazing how much talk we hear about this offense and the quarterback and whatnot. And the fact is our defense has improved so much over the last year and two years. It's incredible. I would much rather have a struggling offense than a struggling defense. But I don't think that mentality has to change a whole lot. You know, anybody who's been down there to practice watches the amount of pressure and the coaching and the involvement that the coaches have in the defensive staff. I don't think that puts a lot of pressure on the defense wants to play well. And they have played well. You know, if you would have told me going into the game that the defense was going to give up, 24 points from the defense and 259 yards. That's I would have said we win the ball game.
Well, it's the lowest output that Tech had given up in 3 years. So I gotta think you're exactly right on that, Monty. Monty, you know the personnel down there. How many Big 12 receivers do we have down there?
That's a loaded question. I think we have probably three or four receivers that are Big 12 talented receivers, but they aren't playmakers. Niles Paul is a good player. If you're asking Niles Paul to consistently make big plays, then you're in trouble. You know, we don't have any. The guys that we have that are, quote, playmakers are A, either too young, or B, just haven't performed. Brandon Kinney is a playmaker. Brandon Kinney is struggling with his confidence and his adaptation to Division I football, Big 12 football right now. It's such a big picture of what you have to put everything together. But I appreciate your question. You know, you look at that team, we don't have any playmakers, guys you can just throw the ball to and say, okay, make three guys miss or else run by a guy and score a touchdown. We don't have any of that right now.
Monty, we appreciate the insight. I think Bo's about ready to take to the stand, so we'll get out of here, and we'll talk to you again soon. Thanks so much.
Always a pleasure, guys. Thanks, guys.
Monty Kranzenstein, check it out on the Kearney Hub website, kearneyhub.com, for more. We need to take a break, and then Coach Pelini should be at the podium. We'll be back after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
I don't think this is quite normal.
I heard it might even put hair on your chest.
See, I never dreamed it could be that exciting.
We'll leave it tuned in and keep someone listening here all the time.
More excitement coming up next when the Doug and Daddy Show returns on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Hey, man in a car driving home. Dinner. What are you going to have? One of those frozen diet things your wife bought? Those are nice, if you eat 12. How about Campbell's Chunky Sirloin Burger with Country Vegetable Soup? Always filling and delicious. And now better for you, because now it's made with all lean meat. Plus, it's got a full serving of vegetables. Picture it. The juicy burgers, the tender veggies. Come on, hurry home! At the posted speed limit, of course. Campbell's Chunky Soup. Better than ever.
Are you a technology professional looking for a new job? Stop wasting time on general job sites, sifting through listings that are not relevant to you. Go to Dice.com. For over 17 years, Dice, the number one technology job board, has focused exclusively on tech jobs. Go to Dice.com to find tens of thousands of jobs all across the country. Software engineers, system administrators, web developers, and more. Visit Dice.com today. Dice.com.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
You have more power than you may realize when it comes to managing your health care costs. With a health savings account partnered with the right health plan, you gain control over your medical dollars. Ask today about the new HSA eligible plans, available from two names you trust, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, and your Farm Bureau agent. With Farm Bureau and Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, you get the best of both. Matt Myers and Rich Peters are independent and authorized insurance producers of Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. For your health insurance needs in the Kearney area, call Farm Bureau agents Matt Myers and Rich Peters at 234-4922. That's 234-4922. Make the call today and get the best of both with Farm Bureau and Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska.
We'll see considerable cloud cover across the area through the day today with a slight chance of showers developing, with high temperatures staying in the mid-50s to around 60 degrees. Winds out of the southeast will stay at 5 to 15. For tonight, we'll drop back to 42 for a low. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now, 50.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Bo Pelini will be taking to the podium any minute now, and we'll bring you the press conference live, I guess, really after the first stinging defeat in quite some time for the Huskers. You expected that you could get beat by Virginia Tech, and it was a close game. You expected you would get beat by Oklahoma last year, and that was the last time the Huskers lost.
But I don't think it's that we got beat, Doug. It's how the play overall that you just left you shaking your head, don't you think?
Well, again,
I mean, it's a totally different feeling.
Sky is falling mentality. We held Texas Tech to their fewest yards in 3 years. Anybody. Our defense played better than anybody played Texas Tech in 3 years. They're not getting one bit of prop. It's kind of sick. Visco Sports on the breaks at the downtown Kearney Center. Stop in and see Steve and the gang, and they'll talk a little football, a little baseball, Huskers, the Lopers, the pros. In fact, if you go talk to Red, you'll probably feel like the knowledgeable one. He'll kill some time with you. Red, just kidding. It's Visco Sports on the breaks at the downtown Kearney Center. They're open 7 days a week, and late on Thursdays for your convenience. Sweatshirts, jackets, hats for the Huskers, Lopers, Kearney High Bearcats, and Kearney Catholic Stars. Plenty of other college and NFL hoodies to choose from. And as the fall sports season is winding down, it's time to think winter. Boys and girls basketball, wrestling, whatever your sporting activity. And if you're going to be out traveling and just want to watch the games as well, do it in some sweatshirts, wind pants, sweats, whatever you like to be comfortable in, and a great selection of shoes as well. Visco Sports on the bricks in the downtown Kearney Center. High school volleyball last night. Congratulations to Blue Hill. They are the Twin Valley Conference champions. They defeated Shelton in four sets. Shelton is just their third loss. Twin Valley has some very talented volleyball teams. And Lawrence Nelson won the consolation game last night over Silver Lake. Some other volleyball action going on tonight. We will have a top 10 battle from Grand Island as C1 unbeaten Central Catholic takes on Aurora. Let's go to Lincoln. Bo Pelini is ready to address the media.
When you went back and looked at the film from Texas Tech, was there anything you actually did like, anything you thought you did well?
Yeah, there were a number of things we did well. And there's a number of things we got to get fixed. It's really no different than any other game that there's you never play perfect, and you never it's never as good as you think. It's never as bad as you think, and you have to look at it the same way. You got to get things you did well. You got to keep emphasizing those things, and the things that you need to get fixed, you get fixed.
What were those things?
We did a lot of things. Well, I thought we, defensively, I thought we rushed the passer really well. I thought we most of the time we did some good things in coverage. We didn't make a couple plays at times. For the most part, we tackled well. Offensively, we were just, there were some good things in there. We just, as a group, we were inconsistent. There wasn't anything you could, it was a guy here, a guy there, especially in the running game. One guy on offense, one guy breaks down, you end up with somebody free and a game that could be a breakout game. One guy makes a play, it makes it look like everybody screwed up when it was one guy here, one guy there. We hurt ourselves at times with penalties. Some of those things happened, and we just didn't play a clean game. We didn't execute very well on a consistent basis.
You said on the first drive of the game you were really disappointed with those two third and longs that they converted. Going back and looking at it, was it anything you guys did wrong, or did they just make the plays there? What do you think on those?
We didn't make plays. That's the way I look at it. They made a play, but we didn't make plays. He made a great catch. We had two guys there on the first thing, and we bat the ball in the air, and the other guy doesn't hit the guy, and we had two guys going for the ball, and it's a shame. They threw the ball into coverage. That's what you want them to do. You got to win in that situation. It was just, that just hurt. That drive, it's a drive that shouldn't have happened. But you got to make those plays. That's a game of football. You have to make plays, and we didn't do that in that situation. And it kind of took the momentum away from us to start the football game. It's not the way we wanted to start, obviously.
How has Austin Arnott improved from when you saw him a year ago and running that spread that they run?
Well, he's a good player. They're running a different offense than they did a year ago for the most part, and does some good things. He runs, he throws, he makes pretty good decisions. I think they're playing to his strengths, and they do a good job.
This week, I think you said game time decision, who's going to start. Are you looking for something specific, or what are you looking for in practice this week?
Execution. It's really, really you know, it's always, I mean, across the board, I mean, everything, every position we have, it's always, in essence, a game time decision. We don't make announcements and things like that. And you earn your playing time by how you play during the week and your execution during the week. And right now, really, at that position, nothing's really changed. You know, that's where it stands right now.
So when you say that nothing has changed, does that mean Zach's the starter until it's taken away from him?
Yes.
And that you decided this week how things go in practice?
Yes.
Okay. How close is Cody to being able to take it away from him?
There are a lot of ifs, ands, or buts. You know, we watch the film and you evaluate and you play the guy that's ready to win football games for you. You know, there's a lot of things that play into that. I mean, I'll expand on that more if you guys want me to, but.
Yeah, please do.
To me, it's pretty cut and dried. I mean, you know, you evaluate all their snaps, you evaluate what they're doing, you know, somebody has to execute and do the things necessary all the time to win football games for you. And you know, it's real easy to magnify the quarterback position, but there's a number of times it isn't the quarterback position, it's what's happening around them. And but it, unfortunately, and you know, it sometimes always falls on to him. But you know, as a quarterback, when you evaluate the quarterback position like any other position, you have to evaluate what they're doing in the given situations and give yourself and give a fair assessment of what's going on and who's preparing. That goes not only in the games but in practice and who's doing the things necessary to have consistent execution.
Does Cody's strength as a runner help him in the decisions you guys make?
Yeah, he's a capable runner.
The offensive line seems like it's been a little inconsistent with their pass protection and just maybe some mental errors and penalties. What have you seen from that group and why have they kind of maybe taken a step back the last couple of weeks?
Well, I thought the offensive line, for the most part, did some pretty good things in pass protection. And it kind of goes the same way as to what I was saying before. You know, with the way I was saying it, the guys around the quarterback have to help the quarterback the same way the quarterback has to help the offensive line. And you know, it's all part of, you know, it works hand in hand. And there were a couple times where the offensive line didn't help the quarterback, there's a couple times where the quarterback didn't help the offensive line. And it's, you know, it's a growing process. And there are times we held the ball too long or we stepped up when we didn't need to. And you know, that's part of the deal. You got to work through those things and improve in those areas to make sure we're all working together so we all give each other the best opportunity to have success.
Hey, Bo, does that
one? General execution problems 6 games into the season, does that kind of left you scratching your head? Has it been an up and down thing, or is it?
No, you know what? It's interesting because I see ourselves on offense going through many of the same things we went through a year ago on the defensive side of the ball. And, you know, We have some inexperienced guys. We have some new guys. We have some guys we're trying to find the right combinations for. We have youth on offense. And we've had, you know, got hit a little bit by the injury bug and some different other things. And, you know, you don't make any excuses. Obviously, that isn't what I do. But, you know, it's very similar to what we went through on defense a year ago, the inconsistency, part of the process of developing guys and developing that consistency of execution and that culture, because, you know, you knew going into the season a little bit, you know, we lost the main guys that we lost were on the offensive side of the ball, was our leadership on that side of the football, and what that brings is inexperience and youth. And it, you know, that's the area, and it's where we were a year ago on defense, and it's where I see us right now on offense. And what I've learned over the years is you can't panic. You just stay with your process. You stay with what you're doing. You keep teaching them and keep developing. And in time, you turn things that is inconsistent into a consistency and strength. But you don't do that by panicking and overreacting. You know, I've been, this is what, I'm going into my, I believe, like my 20th game as a head football coach here at Nebraska. And one thing that I think I've said it in here a lot, and I don't get real high and I don't get real low. I don't overreact to wins or losses. And I believe in the process. I stay in myself, the staff, we stay right on focus, right on par with the process, and really look at things in a black and white manner. And watch the film, stay with the process, continually, constantly evaluate and keep working and keep the work ethic going in such a way that you stay consistent in your effort and you keep working to improve. And, you know, you ride the highs and lows. You have to stay consistent in your approach and in the process, and eventually it wins out over time. And I believe in that.
Is it practice-based pile-up? Are you seeing light bulbs come on? More light bulbs come on, I mean, week to week?
And yeah, and I see more progress in some areas than I do others. And that's, you know, we ride these guys pretty hard to get the results that we want. But, you know, you all want to, and the effort's there. But you got to constantly push for the constant consistency of execution, you know, and it's a day-to-day thing. And, you know, it's something that you have to earn. You have to earn the right to play great. And that happens over time, and you just got to keep chipping away at it. And it has to happen in a very consistent, consistent manner. And you know, I don't, like I said, I've learned that over the years, that's the only way to have success over the long term.
Are there times in the evaluation process, coach, where somebody might grade a little better than somebody else, but you're, from your observation, maybe your gut instinct, say, this guy still is going to help us, you know, maybe win a game, as opposed to the guy who might have graded a little higher?
Absolutely. That's, but you know, most of the time, grades and things like, you know, grades, situations, you know, practice and how you practice. I have a firm belief that you're going to play on Saturday, how you practice and how you go during the week. And, you know, I'm in the fortunate, sometimes unfortunate situation of being able to watch every snap. And, you know, I try and look at, you know, you can't make rash decisions. You have to look at the bottom line and what somebody's doing consistently. And, you know, we end up with a lot of information. As a coach, you end up with a lot of information in front of you because you have a lot of snaps. And you have to take all those things into account when you make the decisions. You can't just make rash emotional decisions in this position, because you do that, you find yourself doing things for the wrong reasons. And I always believe that you take the information that's available to you and you make the decisions that are right for you, and you can't let outside influences or, you know, opinions or people, you know, I shouldn't say uneducated, but not necessarily as informed as us, informed as what we're seeing on a day-to-day basis, influence what we do. Because then I believe in those situations, you do things for the wrong reasons. I mean, a great example I have is last year before we played Missouri. I was frustrated where we were defensively, and I made a rash, bad decision in how I approached that football game. I went for a quick fix. There are no quick fixes in life. I mean, it's about hard work. It's about fundamentals. It's about technique. It's about staying with your beliefs and your principles and continually stressing those things. And eventually, over time, it wins out. And I have, that's just what I believe in, and that's the only way to have success over the long term.
Coach, are there concrete things that the coaching staff can do to address the devastating penalties, the drive-killing penalties, or does it kind of vary depending on what kind of penalty it is, or is it just kind of a general preaching a mental toughness thing?
You know, we constantly, I talk to them every, I mean, constantly talk about penalties, and I think you hit it on the head. There's some penalties that you can control. There's some that you can't. There's some that are judgment calls, and there's some that are pretty cut and dried. I think it was pretty obvious that the ones that hurt us the other day. Now, there's some of them, you know, what are you going to do?
Have you considered that laying into the officials like you have could be counterproductive?
You know what the interesting thing is? I think this year I've been pretty tame with the officials. And, you know, I mean, I've been making a pretty conscious effort of doing that. You know, sometimes you find yourself in a situation where there's only so much you can stand. And I found myself in that situation the other day, and you know, you got to continually work at it. But I, you know, I've been probably the calmest I've ever been in my career this year, and I continually, you know, work at that. And believe me, you know, it's something that I, you know, you always got to keep working on things and to keep, you know, looking yourself in the mirror and getting better at things. I was frustrated the other day. You know, it really didn't happen until really the second half, until late, is when I got really frustrated. And I don't want to get in all the reasons why, but, you know, it was, you know, it wasn't as, I got to work on my being too animated, probably. I'm not trying to be, it's just, that's the area I got to work on.
Is that something that Coach Osborne and your family talked to you about?
No. I mean, Coach, you know, the other day, you know, sometimes, it's pretty obvious. I'm a pretty intelligent guy. I know when you got to fix things, or when you got to, but, you know, that's about the end of that.
How's Roy? How are you guys handling this week at practice?
Roy is... he's doing better. He's improving. And he'll be out there today, but, you know, we don't want to get him hit, so we'll probably put him in a green jersey to, you know, to limit the hit. I mean, that's more of a precautionary measure when you see that happen. But he had a stinger, and that's just part of football.
How can these little nagging injuries affect a guy like that? I mean, especially when he's asked to carry a bigger load.
I mean, it can affect anybody. You know, you want to feel right all the time, but you know, usually when you're six games in, you know, in the type of, you know, football you play, you're gonna have bumps, bruises, nicks, and he's a tough guy, and I think Roy will respond. And if not, we feel like we have some capable guys to help him carry the load.
Bo, following up a little bit on what you said Saturday about what you wanted to see was running the football consistently and knocking people off. Where'd you go with that Monday start practice this week, and where do you go with it the rest of the week?
Well, just something that we're emphasizing, I'm emphasizing, and we just need more of it. We just need more work at it. We need more reps at it. We need, it's about, you know, hard work and getting down in the trenches and doing it. And, you know, it's, you get what you ask for. You just got to keep working at it and keep stressing it. It's something that we have to be able to get done.
Does it lead to a change somewhat like you maybe went last year after the Missouri game and what kind of how you attack them?
Say again.
Does it lead to a change in philosophy a little bit at all from this point like you did last year when you kind of switched after the Missouri game?
I don't know. I have a belief, Rich, that it's not what you do, it's how you do it. You know, you can get caught up in, you know, it's about fundamentals, it's about technique, and it's about effort and improving in those areas and playing with a kind of attitude. You know, you don't win football games by just out scheming people. It's about what you do. It's about how you're doing things. And that's the area that I'm addressed, that I believe needs addressed. And to me, you know, I just have a strong belief in fundamentals and technique. And I think that's what you have to lean on. And obviously schemes is always a part of it, but it's about doing things and doing things the right way.
Iowa State seems a little more competitive than they were a year ago. What have you seen on film from the Paul Rhodes era that maybe is a little bit different from a year ago?
You know, It's hard for me to speak. I recall the Iowa State game from a year ago. They've changed offensively. They're a lot more spread out, I can say that. I think they're playing harder. They're more I just think they're a better, they're right now they're a lot better football team than they were a year ago. That has to be attributed to Paul and his staff, and they're doing a good job.
How good is their running back Robinson, who leads the Big 12 in rushing?
Good player. He's a good player and runs hard. They stay committed to it. That's they're going to run the football. They're going to be committed to running the football, and then obviously he's a very capable running back.
Coach, it's an ongoing evaluation process on offense. Is this something you're more involved now than you were at the beginning of the season?
Somewhat, yeah.
Are you this at quarterback? Are you trusting Watson to make the final decision, or do you get involved with it?
I have input on everybody that walks onto the field, but obviously I lean heavily on Watts. I mean, he's the guy who coaches them, and he has a heck of a lot more experience in that area than I do, and I have a total and the utmost trust in his evaluation and his decision making ability.
In terms of how you're dividing up snaps, did that change this week in practice?
Not much. We don't really change how we do that. We rep, kind of how we go about things. In most drills, we rep three guys. So, it's not about just, it's never just about one guy. It's about, having one guy developing a backup and developing a guy down the line. So, that really doesn't change regardless.
How is Zach responding to the criticism and the stuff that's kind of happened over the last couple of days?
I think he's done good. Obviously, it's going to affect the guy. He feels like the whole state of Nebraska is against him. And, that would affect anybody. But you know what? I've been there as a coach. I've been there as, you can't let it. You fight through it. You persevere. You take a "I'll show you" attitude, and it's disappointing when people boo and people do those things. But that's human nature. That's who they are. You can't let it affect you. You fight through. You find out what's deep inside of you, and that's disappointing to me that happens. And people take that attitude and they want to point the finger. We point the thumb.
Do you guys sense that his confidence is shaken at all? Maybe he might press too hard and try to make some things happen?
I don't know about that. We try and get him focused on the task at hand and, take all the other things out of it. And, we have belief in him. We have belief in our players, the guys we put out there, and we're going to do everything we can to enable them and help them have success.
In a case like that, do you have a one-on-one meeting with Zach when they're in
the team? I meet with all my guys.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just one guy. It isn't just Zach Lee.
Did his practice level drop the last 2 weeks, before Missouri and before Texas Tech?
No, not really. I think he's practiced well. He's done some good things. He's just got to carry it over to the game, and he's got to stop putting so much pressure on himself. And I think that's one of the deals, and you've got to learn how to handle that, quote unquote negativity, some of those things, and just go out and play. He's one of 11, but he's an important one of 11, obviously. And same with Cody. You can't get caught up in all the things. You just got to execute. You got to just eliminate all the distractions and execute.
Going back on the animated question that you were talking about, sideline demeanor and your post game, not necessarily appreciating some of the questions you might be getting. Not that anyone in this room would necessarily care about what you think of them, but do you worry about how that plays off when it's beamed out to the world via the internet or on highlight shows or what have you, as far as the perception of you or the program?
No. I mean, I don't, you know, I'm not, I'm never disrespectful, but I ask things pretty direct. I answer things pretty directly. I think I answer all the, I'm a very direct person. I'm very black and white. That's how I answer your questions. I understand people have a job to do, and you guys have a job to do. And, you know, I mean, I'm not being, I don't believe I'm ever disrespectful, but I'm very direct, very to the point. That's who I am.
Coach, the guy that says that you don't get too high or too low, is it sometimes you sit back and get amazed at the public getting too high and too low?
Yeah, but, you know, I don't really concern myself with that. You can't. That's why I say, you know, you got to remain consistent in your approach and not get influenced by all those things, all the era things, you know. And, you know, I have the realization that it, you know, like I think I said this earlier, it's never as good as people think. It's never as bad as people think either. And it usually lies somewhere in between. It's our job to make that evaluation regardless of what's going on. I'm going to come to work, whether we win by 21 or we lose by 21, it's not going to change my approach and what exactly I do the next day and how I address what happened in the latest game. And it's definitely not going to change our approach with what you have to do, because there's always things you got to get better at, and there's always things you got to fix, regardless of what the perception is on the outside.
Anything else for Coach?
Somebody else was getting ready to ask a question. Anybody over here? Somebody was about to ask a question.
He walked out.
Oh, you did? All right, thanks, Gus.
Well, that was a regular Tuesday press conference from Bo Pelini. Bo answering some questions I'm sure that he didn't like, but nonetheless, got through it in a relative good mood. I think that was what everybody was a little bit concerned about, that the deal would last 4.5-7 minutes long, and he'd basically get up and walk out, and that didn't happen, so I think that's good. Maybe some things to take out of that. We'll break a little bit of this press conference down and be back after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Two guys who get a little emotional when they hear John Belushi yell,
"Boot High!" Hi, it's Colin Coward, host of The Herd. Football season means flower season. Why not buy them at proflowers.com? Hey, you Bengal fans, why don't you send the Steelers condolences flowers for that big win in Cincinnati? Right now, get 2 dozen red roses with a free glass vase for only $29.99. Or get a potted red rose plant for the same low price. Now, ProFlowers guarantees your rose bouquet will last for at least 7 days after you get it. And your rose plant will last for at least 2 weeks. That's 2 dozen red roses or a potted red rose plant, just $29.99. Here's what I want you to do to get your red roses or potted rose plant. Go to ProFlowers.com, click on the mic, upper right-hand corner, enter the password Colin, or call 1-800-PRO-FLOWERS and mention Colin. Don't wait. It's football season. That means it's flower season at proflowers.com.
Cold winter days and nights are only a few weeks away. Call Fidoki Heating and Air Conditioning, your independent trained dealer in Kearney today to schedule a preseason furnace check. Fidoki's experienced technicians can spot potential problems before trouble and major expense occurs. See Fidoki Heating and Air Conditioning, your independent trained dealer in Kearney. Industry-leading sales and service for 30 years. Ask about special financing or a cash rebate on a new train system.
We don't cut corners. Fidoki Heating and Air.
It's hard to stop a train.
ENT Physicians of Kearney, we put patients first. For more than a decade, Drs. Conley and Owen have provided unsurpassed care to adults and children with problems and diseases related to the ear, nose, and throat. To learn more about our practice and the services we provide, please visit our website at entphysiciansofkearney.com. Caring for our community one patient at a time, we're ENT Physicians of Kearney and Family Hearing Center.
Whether it comes in a glass, on a plate, or in a bucket, Cunningham's Journal in the Loft has specials that year in and year out make them a favorite for Kearney area sports fans. college or pro, the TVs are always on, the crowd turned up, the food and snacks hot, and the beverages cold. Cunningham's Journal in the Loft, ready to roll through the fall and winter sports seasons. And when the game isn't on, the live entertainment is at Cunningham's Journal in the Loft, downtown Kearney.
We'll see considerable cloud cover across the area through the day today with a slight chance of showers developing, with high temperatures staying in the mid-50s to around 60 degrees. Winds out of the southeast will stay at 5 to 15. For tonight, we'll drop back to 42 for a low. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now, 50.
I'm gonna fight them all.
Zach Lee beating his head against the wall. Not the entire state of Nebraska is doubting Zach Lee. Well, maybe we're doubting you, but we haven't thrown you under the bus. Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, every Tuesday with Bo Pelini's press conference. We run a little long to hear the press conference and discuss it. And, Daddy, wow, this ain't 65 and sunny.
No, it's certainly not. Probably not even out in the field.
No, you're probably, as a farmer right now, you've been out in the field and you're going, huh, this ain't as good as I thought it would be. Or you're in a Dynagrow field and you're going, woohoo!
Yeah, we talked to you about the new pricing options for next year. Well, let's just talk about the seed stewardship policy from Dynagrow and Roundup Ready soybeans. Roundup Ready and Roundup Ready 2 soybeans for your farming operation. Dynagrow Seed is committed to providing our customers with superior genetics and the newest technologies available. They believe this approach allows customers to achieve the highest possible return on their investment. It's their responsibility as an industry properly steward patented genetics and technology to sustain continued development of new genetics and future technologies. That's what you got to do if you're going to feed the world like Dynagrow is. Ask your local Dynagrow representative about the seed stewardship policy and the Roundup Ready and Roundup Ready Corn 2 soybeans today. 1-800-652-9298.
And because the only person that can validate this, unless there is a secret Aaron Andrews camera in this studio that watches what Tony does when we listen to the Bo Pelini press conference, you're one of them. You're one of the people, Bo, saying, you know what, whatever. You just sat here and shook your head a couple times like you were smarter than Bo. So talk about what you thought was wrong and what you thought. He did come out and say that Zach Lee is still the starter, which annoyed you.
Why, I just, does Bo Pelini stand on the sideline with a 5-foot-long stick and an assist dog with him, and he's blind to everything that's going on in the field?
Okay, perfect. It couldn't have been any more perfect. This was the same guy 2 years ago that said, fire Bill Callahan and get Bo Pelini in here. Get him in here now. Now Bo Pelini is a blind guy who doesn't know football. I'm giving you every chance to dig out of this hole and explain yourself. And all I'm asking is, what do you want? What do you want?
Offensively, I want some competence. And you have zero with Zach Lee on the field. You got to put a playmaker in the game and see what he can do. Tremendous upside with Cody Green. Zero upside with Zach Lee. Well, I guess there's some upside, because I cannot believe he can play the fourth game as bad as he's played the last three. So I guess, okay, there's some upside. I'll take a half a step back. I don't think when he's in the pocket, there's a reason Zach Lee immediately busts out of the pocket. And I think, my personal opinion, I don't think he can see. Being 6 foot tall, I think they get a wall built around him. He has no idea where anybody is because he can't see out of there. That's why I think he ducks out of the pocket. Now, once he ducks out of the pocket, he's... I don't know if he's scared or timid or what the deal is, but he doesn't want to run. When he has lanes to run, he's opted not to run. I mean, it can be third and four, and he has 7 yards, which he's going to get hit. No, he doesn't want to do that. He wants to duck down and throw a flat pass behind a receiver, which stops his momentum automatically and lets the defense catch up. Yeah, everybody else that hits the receiver in stride can make one guy miss out there. Well, not when the guy had to turn a 180 backwards and make an unbelievable catch and just stumble around 2 yards in the backfield. It takes him a minute to get going again. And then the defense catches up and they make those one-on-one tackles. Bo Pelini handles the defense. He had so much confidence in Sean Watson, which, I'll be honest with you, At the start, I like Sean Watson. I thought the offense wasn't the problem under Bill Callahan. I don't know what is going on now other than the quarterback position to me is a leadership position, and there's just no leadership going on right now.
You also didn't like his response to the O-line for the most part. Played pretty well, pass protected pretty well, which again I have to go back to one of the statements that we've been hearing all along is that Zach Lee held on to the ball forever and wouldn't run. Well, if that's the case, he must have had pretty good pass protection. So then why so much criticism of the O-line?
I guess my criticism of the O-line is more on the running side of things. We cannot get anybody knocked off the ball. When's the last time we've just ran the ball on first down and picked up 6 yards and had a second and four? When's the last time we've had a third and three? Isn't it always third and seven? And then with Zach Lee in the ball game, you have no options because he can't throw the ball 7 yards down the field.
Before we run out of time, and I want a couple more of your observations, it's time for Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. If you have not won in the last 2 months, you are eligible at 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. As you heard during the press conference, Iowa State's Alexander Robinson is the league best rusher. He's number one individually in the Big 12 at 105.3 yards per game. Who is the second leading rusher in the Big 12 conference? After this past weekend. Who is the second leading rusher in the Big 12 Conference after this past weekend? Derek will take the calls off air, 888-455-3776. Anything else that you want to, do you like Nebraska football?
Well, I thought I did. I don't like that offensive style of football at all. I don't know how anybody can, I don't know how anybody... And I appreciate that sellout streak. I think it's one of the neatest, damnedest things there is in all of college football. I cannot believe there's 80,000 of you out there that can't wait to go down there for this Iowa State game. I have a hard time believing that you can just be so fired up and amped up to go down and watch that again. I have a hard time with that. To me, that stunk last week. I was waiting for somebody to take a garden rake and hit me in the middle of the back because that had to be more enjoyable than watching Zach Lee throw behind receivers on 2 yard out passes.
Wow. Just you, life must be rough for you. We do have a winner, by the way. We do have a winner for our Troutman's Tuesday trivia.
Yeah, Lauren from St. Paul knew it. Roy Helu Jr. is the second leading rusher there.
Want to say anything? 103.3 yards per ball game.